Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside, that ball comes out on the scramble. We'll see multiple things. First off, who recovered? Second, did Gainwell have it long enough to be a catch and a fumble? It looked that way live, and the Packers have it.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Weather for Palo Alto Saturday afternoon, Pitt-Stanford. A big game for Pitt. 67 degrees, partly cloudy skies. For Pitt-Stanford, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
You ever been out there to Palo Alto?
I've been to San Fran, so no. I've been to the Bay Area before.
Monterey, great place, a little south of the Bay.
Never been.
Very scenic part of the country.
So, Aaron Rodgers' comments after the game. This was a big topic on social media throughout the game. The way Acrisure Stadium sounded, you could even hear it in that highlight when Kenneth Gainwell fumbled and it looked like the Packers recovered and the fans erupted when it did, when they did. There were a lot of Green Bay fans there. And even though they were outnumbered by Steelers fans, they were louder than Steelers fans. And even early in the game, I could tell, third downs for the Steelers, you could hear their fans making noise. And then as the game went on, there's Rodgers just openly acknowledging, yeah, we had to do something that I've really never done. Go to the silent count. This is like a badge of honor for the Steelers when they're on the road.
They do it to the Chargers and the Raiders,
and
even
the Falcons, yeah, they and do the Panthers. And
probably Miami sometimes.
A lot of these teams.
If the game is close and worth it,
I'd say they do it to at least half the NFL, maybe not more.
Didn't the Steelers do it so badly to the Chargers once when the Chargers were in the soccer stadium that they did a little Rickroll prank where they started to play Renegade and pretended to do it and then stopped right away?
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, that's how crazy their reputation for taking over stadiums was, though.
So when it happens here, it's obviously an outlier, and it stands out and sticks out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, forces fans to explain how it happened or why it happened or express their feelings on how, what their, like, just reaction to it is. When somebody comes in and takes over your stadiums. Takeover doesn't mean there were 55,000 Packers fans there. There were just enough where it seemed almost like a neutral site game.
Well, they were also extremely enthusiastic and excited about their team, feeling good about their team. When your team is good and they're doing good things, and in this case, like, the dam is breaking after they've trailed for a lot of the game,
yep,
and then they start just getting rolling downhill, you're going to be motivated to cheer. And to their credit, when the game wasn't obviously going the Packers' way, did you notice it about, what, the second quarter maybe?
I thought right from the very beginning it sounded like there was a Packers presence there.
I was playing catch-up on my phone. I put the kids to bed, and then I wanted to watch it from the beginning and speed up during the commercials. And the thing that's just jarring is you're seeing what you always see now in the NFL for road teams, the guards looking over, getting the protection, tapping the center. And it's go time, and it's like, man, that never happens to them. And I had that thought before I like realized that was definitely what was happening. I said, man, it looks like they're in a silent count situation. Like, what's going on here? Are they having that many problems like hearing each other?
I honestly don't think in this specific instance it's a bad look by Steelers fans.
Is it because the Packers fans are a national fan base and have that sort of heritage?
Let me explain myself. I thought when Kenny's first star, and I'm not just saying this because I was a Kenny guy, when Niners fans came in and Steelers fans sold their tickets to San Francisco fans with deep pockets.
Yes.
In the first game of the season,
They weren't San Francisco fans with deep pockets. You just don't want to admit the Youngstown connection here, my friend.
Well, I don't think the Youngstown connection was like selling out the lower bowl, with all due respect to Youngstown, Ohio. But either way, it happened and it was obvious and it was very visible on TV and you could hear it and all those things. I thought that was a bad job. It's the first game of the year. You're selling your tickets opening Sunday.
The fans who wear red that really pops on TV and is sets off from your fans.
If you're a Steelers fan, you're perturbed by what happened on Thursday, the Cincinnati game. You've watched the Steelers pretty much look like the same team year to year. And I'm sorry, it's a bucket list game for Packers fans. If Ben Roethlisberger had decided to go play and catch on with some team that needed a quarterback at the end of his career.
The Cleveland Browns.
Okay, that's a bad example. But if it was some kind of, you know, if it was an NFC team that we don't really care about otherwise.
The Carolina Panthers.
Exactly. If the Steelers played a game in Charlotte, it would be almost 100% Steelers fans. Because you want to watch your team play, but you also kind of want to pay respect to an iconic all-time great player. Green Bay fans are everywhere. They're a gigantic fan base. And let's face it, this game meant way more to them than it did to us. Aaron Rodgers has a soft spot in their heart, way more than us. And it was a unique opportunity to watch him play against Green Bay, one that likely will never happen again. So for that reason, I get it. Like, they're willing to pay two times, three times, four times what the ticket's worth because they want this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to watch their team play against their old Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't have a problem with Steelers fans in that situation selling their tickets.
Was that how hot the market was? That
it was huge.
Going for two, three, and four times?
Yeah, I mean, everybody I talked to about that game sold their tickets for way more than the face value was. And that's saying something because that doesn't always happen with primetime games, Chris. You know that.
No, I know.
Well, because Steelers fans are weird about primetime games.
Alex went to the game last night.
Congratulations on all her success.
No, but she has gone to games just for the primetime part of it. She's gone to primetime games before. And noted how sparse the crowd can look, relatively speaking, because Steelers fans, much like their owner, very infamously, don't like these games because you got to get up and go to work the next morning. You don't think it's as bad of a look because of all the reasons you laid out. I will say I think it's a bad look for two reasons. One, you lost the game, and that always makes it feel worse. You got humiliated the last 15 minutes of game action. And also, just in a broad sense, I'm not trying to get granular with this argument. You're the Steelers. You're supposed to do this to other teams, and part and parcel with that is it's pretty much never supposed to happen to you. We know, because you just laid out the 49ers situation for one, we know that it now has been happening more and more. But it's your reputation is no one comes into our building, we go into their buildings. Do you know what's actually almost worse than this one? I still think it's a bad look. Going to Cincinnati last week, the Herb Street noting that there are very few terrible towels in that crowd. I thought that was like kind of the two taken together are kind of a sign of how frustrated I think Steelers fans are generally.
I'm not saying they're apathetic because they're clearly not. I mean, we'll
it's
talk
absolutely
about-
creeping in though with some people. Like when you make a value judgment, do I want to either sell my tickets and just make some money? Or in the case of the Bengals game, do I want to drive 5 hours,
yeah,
buy a ticket in this building, and probably get yelled at and jeered by opposing fans just because that's what happens? You're willing to do that a lot more if your team is good.
I mean, my feeling on last night's game, if I had tickets, could have easily been, why do I want to go watch my team lose in... not
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Freezing temperatures or anything like that, but why do I want to deal with all that? Not get home until, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, whatever it is.
Be mad
that they lost, and the transaction is I can stay home, watch them do all those things that make me angry, turn the game off at any time, any moment. And oh, by the way, I'm gonna make money off of it. I'm financially,
if anything, making
off.
Money when you think they're gonna lose the game is like an ease of the sting.
Yeah.
Sure. So no, I get that. I do.
I don't think it's a one size fits all thing. I take all these fan situations case by case, and this is just one where, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was probably shocked. Well, maybe he wasn't shocked because he said in his statement that Packers fans travel great, and he knows Packers fans better than he does Steelers fans. So maybe even going into this game, he thought that it was possible. Maybe they, I don't know. We can ask people that were there. They might be, feel like the statute of limitations are up. Maybe they practice some silent count stuff in practice in anticipation of this. They see where the secondary market's going through data reports that they get. Then again, you know, there's Packers fans in Florida and Texas and California. You don't know if those are Steelers fans or Packers fans.
I would just like to know from the people who are actually in the building how loud it actually was. Like a fact or fiction. We heard it obviously enough. We know. It came over on TV later in the game.
I don't think there's any doubt.
They were in the silent count. But I want to know from people there, was it like an 80-20 crowd and the 20 were just deafening?
I heard from someone today, this morning, before I went to the gym and ended up throwing up from doing too many burpees.
Why did you do too many burpees quickly?
Can you explain to people?
Why did you have to do 100 burpees?
Because my trainer's a Packers fan and I didn't want to be a wuss and made a wager with him that if the Steelers lost, I would have to do them.
Did you have to do them consecutively? Like start at one and don't stop till you get through 100?
I could take little breaks.
Okay.
But it wasn't like I was doing like 10 and then, you know, go do
it. But our listeners know a burpee, squat down, kick out, come back in, jump up, squat down.
Yeah, not fun. No.
What did we talk about? You said that the nipple thing was going to be the final straw. Now you have to do 100 burpees?
I didn't say that. I said that it's possible that the nipple thing beget more
stupid bets
if I liked the nipple piercing thing.
But you haven't even had your nipples pierced yet, and before that even took place,
yeah,
you made a bet to do 100 of an exercise that even like the most hardened gym goers know can induce vomiting because of how difficult it is.
I know, but I part of the reason why I did it was because I'm like, well, even if I lose this, it's going to be good for my body, so that's the payoff.
I have one other take on this,
by the way.
Wait,
you never let me finish my point. I got a text from somebody today who's covered the NFL and gone to games for the better part of 40 years. And gone to a lot of Steelers games. And they said that's the most, that's the loudest the opposing fan base has ever been at a Steelers game.
DPJ's in the YouTube comments.
Maybe there were more fans from other teams, but that was the loudest he had ever heard an opposing fan base
sound. So DPJ, YouTube commenter, says he was there 90 minutes before kickoff. Packers fans were very loud on the ramps in the rotunda. He said, I would guess it was either 70-30 Steelers to Packers or maybe 65-35, but he pointed that he just said, Packers fans were amped for this. They came in excited. They came in expecting to root for something. As he put it, Steelers fans came in and expected SOS. Same old Steelers.
412-928-9370. Here is, I don't know what line two is all about. I don't know if I've seen that before.
Well, just, there's like a...
So I don't know which one would...
I think that the thing on the bottom just means it came up on like a blocked number line, but maybe. I think that's otherwise legit.
Here's our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I want to go back to something you said a couple weeks ago about Tomlin being in the same place for far too long. I feel like that's kind of sort of what reared its head last night insofar as We saw what all happened to the Penguins the last couple of years, how the slightest sign of adversity, even if they were leading in the game at one point, they got pushback from the other team. They had an absolute meltdown and collapsed in the third period. That's what happened to the Steelers last night. And it just kills me when you think of, like, having to adjust game plans. Okay, you guys brought up they didn't really have a backup plan for when Saint-Malo went out. Well, it seems like 2 weeks in a row, another thing that happened was they got an unexpected boost from the running game from the opposing offense. Like, they did a good job of stopping Jacobs, and they're like, yes, this is what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And then their backup pulls off a couple of runs in the second half, and then all of a sudden they just start collapsing again. It's like, well, we didn't have this guy on our scouting report, and I just don't understand why they cannot make adjustments on the fly worth a damn. And I mean,
Jeff, the answer is right in front of you, and I think you know it as well as we do. The head coach runs that defense, and he's the one utterly incapable of making the adjustments.
Like Mike Sullivan, right?
Yeah, I just think it's very simple. I think it's the coach, and I think you know that, and I think we know that.
I don't mind that analogy at all. I'm fine with it. Dan Orlovsky tweeted today, I often watch Steelers defensive tape and write down the note, what are they doing here? And you brought this up to me, and it's another example of a national talker who gets to talk football, and people, you know, for the most part, respect his opinion because he puts the work in.
Well, he knows the schematics enough and breaks it down enough to make it clear he knows
what
he's watching.
And he's just unwilling to say Mike Tomlin is failing the Steelers or Mike Tomlin's not doing a good enough job with his defensive philosophy or defensive game planning or defensive in-game play calling. None of those things. He just, like, puts his hands up in the air. He's like, I don't know what this is. Is he that obtuse to defensive, the defensive side of the ball?
No, because he had to study how to beat defenses when he actually
was
in
the game. So you're right. He just doesn't want to say it, man.
I wouldn't have.
Don't want to say it. And it drives me nuts.
It is an allowance made for Mike and virtually no one else. They were more willing to be critical of Bill Belichick in his late years
100%,
with the Patriots.
100%, dude. They were waiting for that to happen. They were waiting for Ben.
Here's what's crazy about the Orlovsky thing.
Do not disagree with that. I mean, they could not wait to pick Antonio Brown's side in the Ben Roethlisberger drama.
Yeah, they were, I'll admit
they
that.
They couldn't wait.
The thing that kills me is Orlovsky often works with Ryan Clark. Ryan played for Mike, and I feel like I have heard Ryan actually be more critical of Mike in public, in a big forum. Not often, but I've heard him be willing to say Mike is doing a bad job more than Dan.
Yeah, but I love Ryan, but Ryan balances it out because one week he'll say that, then 2 weeks later he'll say Mike Tomlin can be the next Andy Reid if he goes to a different
team. Pony, I understand that, and that I don't like that he equivocates it the following week. But he at least says it.
Yeah.
Dan, like, acts like it's verboten, that he'll get in trouble, that somebody's going to slap him on the wrist.
Texas, well, maybe they will. Mike Greenberg, he wants to keep going on
Stephen
that show.
Stephen A. Smith going to say anything about Mike? Has he chimed in yet today?
I'm sure he's come up with some convoluted reason why the defense stinks and it's
maybe
not
actually
Mike's
that'll
fault.
Maybe that'll be one of their next things, to bring Stephen A. in for a big pep talk to get these guys fired up.
He's done
up.
That.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.